time. Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. Sean Cantwell and Adam Harahawk, your local alternative solid state radio. And, well, we've got a few sports-like things to get to this afternoon. Sadly, the mood this afternoon is a little less celebratory, we'll say, than yesterday was, as the Tigers went and dropped Game 4 to Cleveland last night. Not the outing that we were hoping for. Tigers certainly kept it competitive with the bats, but ultimately, not going to win too many games with this team when you're giving up five runs. Especially that, because we all know this team and hitting have not necessarily gotten along very well. You know, it was a bad night when Bo Breeski ended up taking the loss, in fact. Pitching a third of an inning and ultimately giving up, well, at the time, what would be the, the winning run. Jackson Job came in, did as much as he could, but still ended up letting a run in at the end of it all. Rhys Olson didn't have a terrible night. Four innings of one-run ball. But ultimately, it just wasn't enough. This is, as sometimes one of the downsides of the bullpen game thing, is that sometimes your bullpen has an off night. And my did they ever. And there was a few things you could probably take exception with. The not being prepared for, well, the suicide squeeze late in the game that ultimately gave Cleveland the win. It seemed everyone other than possibly A.J. Hinch had an idea that that was coming. And ultimately, they weren't able to do much. Now tomorrow, you've got a 108 start for this game. Game being pushed up because of inclement weather. And you've got to imagine at this point, now the Tigers have to do something that they really, really did not want to do. And that is, you're going to have to start Tarik Skubal for a second time in this series. I don't really see any way around it. You really kind of put yourself in a position where that's unfortunately going to be necessary, I think, if you're going to win this. Matt Boyle will be going up on the bump for the Guardians tomorrow, and remember how well that went for them last time. Better than we would have liked, certainly. Skubal's been about as good as it gets, but you would have liked certainly to have saved him for the ALCS, assuming you get that far. Obviously, there's no guarantees in these things, and right now you need to, you're in a stay alive kind of mode. So you don't really have much of a choice but to send him out there. But there's one I'm sure, there's a game I'm sure A.J. Hinch would have loved to have had back. You just had, David Fry go out there, lay down just the perfect bunt back to Vest. He threw home. Didn't get the runner coming down the line, though. And we were watching this game live, and at first I thought, wait, he got him, right? He had the ball in plenty of time. Did not get to the runner in time, though. Rather unfortunate. So now, you're sitting in a do-or-die situation. A situation, admittedly, still, we didn't think we'd even be in at this point of the year. Even as recently as 2 months ago. So how mad can I really be at it? I suppose I really can't. And I would just like to, completely aside from what happened yesterday, I would like to throw this out there. My, Tigers fans kind of stuck it to the Athletic, did they not? I admit, normally, I rather respect their journalism. I love what they do. Honestly, they do better sports writing than certainly the worldwide leader or anybody else out there 95% of the time. But I took exception to something. Something that they wrote going into these playoffs. Their ranking of the postseason playoff atmosphere, basically, for every contending team. The best and worst home crowds. And what they had to say about the Tigers, they had them ranked dead last. Based on what exactly? I'm not entirely sure. Because this is a team that hasn't hosted a home playoff game in over a decade. It's a team that hasn't had any playoff success in recent years. What are we basing this on exactly? The dog days of midsummer when this team wasn't contending for anything? You're basing that off when the Tigers had sold off everyone, basically given up on the season? And then what happens? What happened? The fans in this lovely town that I call home sold out Comerica Park, set a postseason record for attendance. Yeah, so much for worst postseason atmosphere in Major League Baseball, right, Athletic? I think anyone who's actually been to a Tigers playoff game, and granted, it's been about 12 years since I've been to a postseason Tigers playoff game, because that's the last time we had a postseason playoff game. But I certainly would not have argued then that this isn't a crowd that shows up and shows out for its team. I would never argue that for a second. Apparently, the Athletic, they thought they knew better. Now, it's kind of funny that Connor Stallions, you know, the guy who showed up, you know, playing Where's Waldo on the sidelines of Central Michigan's game against Michigan State, that whole sign-stealing thing, he took to X on Tuesday after that article was published saying, please put this graphic on the scoreboard tomorrow. That being Tuesday night, or Tuesday afternoon, the first home playoff game for the Tigers in 12 years. And to their credit, they absolutely did. Found themselves looking like they'd perhaps stuck their foot in their mouth, perhaps a little bit. They did say if the Tigers proved them wrong, they would alter the rankings. Haven't seen those rankings get altered yet, but I'd certainly say over the last two games they've proved you wrong, if nothing else. So we have that going into tomorrow. Do or die game for the Tigers yet again. Where it seems like every game this team has played for the last 2 months has been do or die, really. Their 10th winner-take-all game, apparently, per the Detroit News. And they've fared well thus far. They've gone in and they went into Houston, didn't even get a home game. Knocked a perennial favorite, perennial ALCS team out of it. Didn't even need a third game to do it. And now you've got the Guardians. They've had them on the ropes. You let them back in, which is never something you can do with this team. Didn't have quite the same luck against Emmanuel Clase yesterday as you did in Game 2. Where you take the best closer in the league, sub-1 ERA guy who hadn't given up a home run to a lefty all year, hadn't blown a save since May, weren't able to repeat that same magic last night. But I've got no doubt you can pull it off tomorrow. This team in the playoffs plays behind Tarek Skubal as good as any pitcher in the league. You saw what he did in was Game 2 of this series. Hasn't allowed a run yet. I have no reason in my mind to believe that that changes tomorrow. You're going to need, obviously, to get some timely hitting. Get to Matt Boyd early. Don't want to face that bullpen if you don't absolutely have to. But bullpen's not exactly infallible for the Guardians by any means. You found that out already this series. But it would be nice to just come out there early. Maybe even get up early enough to let A.J. Hinch take Skubal out of the game early, get some rest, so that maybe we do see multiple appearances from him in the ALCS. Wouldn't that be nice? Hang five on him in the first inning like they did to you in game one. That'd be rather nice. I'd love to see it. 108 tomorrow. It's game time. It's a do or die game. A game, by the way, that, of course, you can hear over on our brother station, the Thumb's Greatest Hits, 97.7 WTGV. Where you can go hear Dan Dickerson and whoever he's got working with him tomorrow in all of their glory, instead of listening to the national media that clearly hasn't watched a single Tigers game this season. And you could tell during that series against Houston that was on ESPN. Clearly, these people haven't spent any time watching this team. And it shows. They've underestimated it to this point. Prove them wrong one more time. Lot to do today. Unsolicited advice and other fun coming up later. It is happy hour. Glad to have you here on a Friday. Stick around. So apparently Spirit Halloween's not content to take up the abandoned stores of the dead malls of America just for 2 months a year. They're trying to expand the game?
Yeah, apparently they are going into the Christmas game. Sidebar, SNL, their opening night, they had a whole sketch on Spirit Halloween, and it was a funny one, but Spirit was not happy. Completely just trashing SNL, because SNL is just like, yeah, remember that old store that we've taken it over? buy wigs that causes your skin to have rashes and all that. It's a funny, I'll have to sit and make you watch it later on. But yeah.
I did see their response in that a Spirit Halloween costume for SNL, like 50-year-old irrelevant show or whatever.
Hey, the Saturday Night Live movie comes out on the 11th, and I want to go see it. But yeah, apparently Spirit Halloween is going to be Spirit Christmas, which makes sense because, I mean, if they get these buildings already rented from, you know, September to October, they have to take everything down and then, you know, wait to the next year. Keep that open. Start selling Christmas stuff because it'll sell. Working at a big box store as I do, you know, they start putting up Christmas stuff. You know, there's like the Halloween stuff, and then there's like one aisle of Christmas stuff, and it starts to seep into every nook and cranny of the store. Christmas everything. I don't need Christmas Ziploc bags. I don't need Christmas toilet paper.
I know I'm really kind of disappointed sometimes at the number of people that do need those things.
It sells. It's a moneymaker. So, I mean,
I get that, but is it enough to sustain an entire store of just Christmas novelties?
Oh, it will. I mean, because you see, I mean, especially in our little town here, this little burg, you see how many people try to completely Griswold their house.
Though I see one neighbor of yours try to Griswold their house, and that's really the one.
I got two. One has done a really good job with Halloween decorations that might actually make your wife jealous.
Give her any ideas. Bad now. She's already turning this into a haunted house as it is. Like, you can't obviously see because this is radio.
Yeah.
But currently here in the Happy Hour Northern Command here in the thriving metropolis of Columbiaville, there stand about 20 or so, like 12-foot pieces of styrofoam that she is, like, painted up to look like the boards that she's going to board up our windows with.
Well, my fat self thought they looked like bacon.
Oh, we had a buddy over here the other day that thought they look like giant chocolate bars. Like,
so I'm not alone. Good.
No.
But yeah, Christmas, absolutely. They have the animatronics of Santa and, you know, Baby Yoda and, you know, Stitch and everything else. Oh, yeah. They'll sell that. I mean, the costumes, you're not going to get that.
Yeah, that's. I feel like that's a good 90% of Spirit's actual business is costume stuff. Like, I mean, yeah, you have the animatronics that people buy and that are the thing that, you know, grab your attention when you walk into one of their stores.
Sure.
But you don't really, I don't feel like, sell as many of those. Like, it's mostly about the people. Like, well, I don't feel like actually being creative and coming up with a costume. Let's let Spirit Halloween do that for me.
Yeah. The costumes are not going to happen, but you know what they are going to sell? Ugly Christmas sweaters. They'll have a whole section devoted to that. They'll also have wreaths, Christmas trees, I mean, stockings, some really funny stockings. There is a way to make, I mean, Bronner's over in Frankenmuth.
Well, yeah, because they're a year-round store and they're an institution. They're also like the size of a shopping mall.
They are, and they do killer business, especially between November 1st and January 1st.
Well, they're also selling like all, like there's so much stuff to that. Like they also sell like all the Department 56 villages and all these just massive things and do all this personalization of stuff. Like there's a lot of ways they're making their money that I don't think the Spirit model is really conducive to. That being like, here, let's acquire a bunch of like cheaply made costumes and mark them up to like excess.
Well, actually, we went to a Spirit Halloween store. Yeah, it was in the shell of an old art van. I'm like, hey, remember when we bought our couch and chairs from here?
I, too, have been at that store because Rach then insisted on going across the street and exploring the dead mall that was Cortland Center.
Oh, yeah, that's even scarier.
right?
But we went in, I mean, so you went in there. They have wall decorations, neon signs. I'm kind of surprised your garage here isn't completely decked out in that stuff. The wall
Give
hangings.
It time. We still got a couple weeks before Halloween, bud.
Then you have the decorations. You have the wigs. You have a lot of costumes that can be worn year-round. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, ladies.
Wow, this turned into a Lover's Lane commercial gradually, I didn't even notice.
Well, don't you say that store name again, or the city of Lapeer will try to shut us down.
That's true.
So, I mean, Dorothy and I may have picked out a few things for later on. But, you know, anyway, I think this is a great move for Spirit. I mean, they've already got these stores all over the place. Get into it. Try it for a year or two. See what happens. I think it's just going to be a nice seamless transition between Christmas and Halloween into Christmas. I think that this is a great idea, and I can't wait to check it out.
It could be, but I also feel like it has the potential to go about as well as a very Goodwill Christmas did. Honest to God, name of the store. It just sounds like a Hallmark Channel movie.
You were making this up. What was this?
No, this was a couple of years ago when they still had the other Goodwill on the store on the other end of that plaza here in Lapeer.
Okay.
And for like the holiday, they ended up turning it to a Very Goodwill Christmas, which just sounds like the name of the worst Hallmark movie you've ever seen.
Look, I got a Billy Ray Cyrus Christmas ornament. It sings Achy Breaky Heart. This is great. It was only 50 cents. It doesn't work anymore because the batteries have been... My daughter's Miley. Miley, put your clothes back on. You're making Daddy sad. But I mean, yeah, okay, that just... First of all, to get people to shop to Goodwill, I mean, Mitch Gill aside, it takes a certain kind of person to, you know, check their feelings at
You'd
the
be surprised.
Door.
You'd be surprised, though, because, like, they own Halloween now. Like, obviously...
Goodwill does?
You'd be amazed, yeah. Like, they've really gone all in on the Halloween thing.
I am surprised. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, you buy a costume, you wear it for that season, then you...
Never wear it again.
And then give it to Goodwill. And next thing you know, it's like, oh, I can be a Power Ranger. I can be, you know, I can dress up like Bob Dole.
Right? It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see the business model there, and it certainly, the kind of people that would shop at Goodwill are definitely the kind that are, you know, Halloween obsessed and wanting to do up their, scarify their house on the cheap. Like, this definitely tracks.
Yeah, it certainly does. I don't know. I can't wait to check it out. I'm hoping that they don't bring the one into Lapeer, of course, so I had to go to Burton or Flint area, so I'll check it out.
Well, they already...
I do need to get a new wreath. I need to get a wreath. I've never had a wreath in the front of my house. I need to do that.
Wreaths are overrated.
You're not a big Christmas... Well, you're not a Christmas person per se anyway.
No, not at all. Like, Halloween's not really my season. It is very much my wife's season, and I'm fine with it because it means we get to have a big, you know, drunken party on Halloween night. and do shots in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Christmas doesn't afford me any of these things. Christmas just affords me the ability or the obligation to go out and spend a bunch of money.
Yeah, that's a lot. What a lot of people are saying about Christmas. Especially when you got a bunch of kids, the frustration of Christmas sets in pretty early.
Right. Like, I am too broke to pull this off.
That's why Christmas night is so relaxing, because you're like, well, that's over.
I don't even get to relax Christmas night because most years I work.
Oh, yeah.
Because my day job, as such as it is, or my night job, I guess,
yeah,
is the one place that's open Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Oh, boy.
And then Christmas Eve, well, one or the other is always spent with, you know, one of our extended families. So it's like there's no rest until after the holiday. And even then.
Well, so but you have to have some customers coming in and tip you really good because you're working on a holiday, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a few. Like, I'm not saying it's not, you know, advantageous to work that day, because some people just feel sorry for you. Some people are just happy to have somewhere to be.
Yeah. Yeah, there is that.
So, I mean, it does work out for you more often than not, honestly.
Yeah.
But it does mean that you don't really, truly there ain't no rest for the wicked, such as it is. We haven't done this on a Friday in a minute, and I am beyond ready to bring it back.
Let's do it.
Ready to do a little bit of judging?
Yes. I have actually been feeling very judgy recently.
Well, let me help with another installment of Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice, where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists.
But
unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept, and I think, quite frankly, we do a better job of this than the people who get paid to do this crap for a living. Sure, we may ruin a few lives in the process, but, you know, that's showbiz. Let's get into this thing, shall we?
You betcha.
Dear... Oh, they're doing this stupid bit again? I've decided to basically cut off my daughter once she's finished with high school, which will be just over 5 months from now. She didn't do anything wrong. I'm not eager to be rid of her, and I can easily continue to provide for her basic needs, but I won't. I myself lived with parents into my 20s, but I feel like this did me no favors, and I've come to believe in sink or swim and hard knock life philosophies, so please don't argue about this decision.
Then why is she writing in?
Yeah, that's kind of my question, too. My only question is when and how to deliver this news to my daughter. I don't want to ruin her birthday or the rest of her senior year, so I may wait until after graduation to tell her she's on her own. I've been trying to instill frugality, budgeting, and saving, but my daughter doesn't yet know how important that will soon be for her. If she knew now, she might be better prepared, but I can see how the stress from this might actually be detrimental overall. My daughter and I have a tender, loving relationship, not for long,
yeah,
and I'm sure she'll be surprised to find out she's being turned away. Or maybe she'll surprise me and fly the nest without being pushed. She actually told me months ago I shouldn't pay for college. This is what actually got me started down this road. I hope to still have a non-codependent relationship with her after this, but I will understand if she doesn't speak to me for a while. Should I continue to lead my daughter toward independence without letting on that it will be forced? Or do I need to inform her now that she will be on her own come summer? Again, my decision is firm in that regard, so please don't argue there.
Then I don't know what else to say, because she is a garbage human being. And she's going to...
alienate her daughter.
Yeah, at 18 years old, which I realized back in like 1960, 1970, yeah, somebody at 18 years old, they're an adult, they can move out on their own. But I don't know if she's read the news at any point ever. In the last 20 years?
Well, no, clearly not.
If she's seen the housing market, if she's seen the job market, she's thrown her kid out to the wolves. Now, if she was to say, okay, you're an adult now, so you're going to, wean her into that thing. You're going to have to pay rent. You're going to have to require you to have a savings account so that pretty soon you can put a down payment on an apartment or a house or something like that. But just to say... hey, congratulations at her open house or something like that. I just want to say, hey, here, I got you something. Open up this card, and it's just, you know, a pink slip and an eviction notice or something like that. I mean, that's cold-hearted.
That's incredibly cold-hearted. And quite frankly, you think you and your daughter have a tender, loving relationship? Do this and see how long that lasts.
Mm-hmm. Or actually, this POS woman, this is probably no big surprise for the daughter. So she's like, yeah, I've been kind of anticipating this. I got me a sugar daddy.
wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, she humble brags, oh, I could take care of her. I could definitely make sure her needs are all taken care of, but I choose not to. It's sink or swim. Well, get ready for your daughter to sink because, I'm sorry.
I mean, get ready for you to sink your relationship with your daughter, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know my kid's only 18 years old, but, yeah, and I could continue to at least help her out somewhat. And all this because she had the audacity to, what, suggest that she'd pay for her own college? So, therefore, you're going to be homeless as soon as you, the day you get your diploma, like, you're getting your diploma at graduation, then come home, all your stuff's going to be out on the lawn, have fun figuring out where to go.
Yeah, yeah, and then worry about paying for college and everything else. I think this woman, she's
garbage.
She sounds like she probably wants to go back to her partying ways. She just wants to be, she wants that empty nest. And she's just, wow.
She clearly just hates her children.
Oh,
that's what
yeah.
it is.
I'm thinking so. We have a great relationship. You think you do, huh?
You did.
Oh, if your daughter doesn't have a complete problem with this, then you never had a close relationship with your daughter. And she can't wait to leave. And quite frankly, I hope she lands on her feet and does just fine. But, I mean, that is just, I mean... Dorothy and I have talked about, you know, what happens when the kids get to a certain age, and it's you know, we're not going to kick them out, but at the same time,
you're going to kick them out.
No, absolutely.
You're going to have their bags packed and ready to go. Yeah. All right, kids, been nice knowing you. See you later.
On their 18th birthday, got you a little something. Happy birthday. Go ahead and open up your gift. Open it up. It's just all their junk. It's all their stuff. Get out.
Happy birthday to you. Get the blank out my house.
No, I can't. But I mean, my mom and dad, they had a rule that, you know, after 18, you're either going to school or you're paying rent. There are no freeloaders.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And for a lot of people, that absolutely is the case.
I mean, there's the other side of the argument where we've all seen these people who are, you know, 26, 27, 30 years old, 35 years old, living with their parents, and the parents don't require them to do anything. They don't barely have a job. I'm just glad he's still living at home and he's still with me. And, you know, yeah, I have no problem that I have to make his bed every morning. I have no problem, you know, that kind of stuff. I understand her wanting her daughter to become an adult, but it's not.
This is a terrible way to go about doing it.
No, I mean, there's no way, unless this 18-year-old already has a really good job, which, you know, chances are
slim to none.
Yeah. It's, you know, being able to get a place, she'd have to, like, you know, shack up with a bunch of different people. Probably end up being the best summer of her life. But, you know, it's the idea that you can't just move out into a house right from the jump. Those days are over. It's not the 50s anymore.
It's not? You mean I can't buy a house for, like, 1 month's salary anymore? Like,
yeah. Yeah. You be able to make a livable wage being a butcher, and you get a nice, beautiful house for $50,000 that would now register on Zillow for like $350,000.
And be able to do all that on one income?
On one income, and be able to have weekends off and, you know, have all that play money. And
what I'm saying is we live in a dystopian hellscape now.
Yes, we do. yeah, we'll just circle back to that.
Always.
Yeah, this person, when should you tell, you know what, there is no right time for this, so I guess to answer the writer, whenever you decide to lower the boom, just be prepared that, you know, you're prepared for her not to talk to you for a couple months. Try the rest of your natural life.
Yeah, I would definitely get myself well prepared for that.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing, like, that's wonderful that don't try and change my mind on this. Don't give me, I mean,
she knows.
Because you know what a terrible thing you're doing.
Yes.
And that you are absolutely going to get judgment for it. And yes, any rational person's opinion on this is going to be, don't do this if you ever want to have a relationship with your kid again.
Exactly.
But since you are apparently refusing to acknowledge this advice in any way, shape, or form, better tell her now then.
Yep.
Like, throwing her completely abruptly out on the street is probably the worst thing you can do and will guarantee that you will never see your kid again. And if your kid has kids, you'll never see them ever.
Why don't you do this? Why don't you tell her at a big birthday party with all the family, just make a big old announcement so you can bask in all your glory, but also it lets everybody else in the family know that she's now homeless and they can take her in and take care of her and do the job that you should be doing, Mom.
I like that, and you know someone would... Well, didn't we... I feel like we did an unsolicited advice maybe a year or two ago where someone basically did this and then was mad that, like, her, like, sibling, like, the kid's aunt, like, took her in.
Yeah,
and helped her out instead of making her just fend for herself on the street somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, I think I recall something like that.
Like, I don't think I would have... That actually would have made it worse, or would make it worse, because someone would take her up on that, because they're not just totally heartless people, presumably.
Right.
And then we would have had that. People can't live with him.
Not this person.
Sometimes wish you weren't related to him.
It's probably for the best if she can find a way to get out of that situation, to get out and just, you know, cut all contact. Hashtag Sean Cantwell.
Wait, is he taking my advice to cut off all contact to somebody?
I'm not saying she should. I don't know.
But that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing you're saying cut off all contact. I knew it finally, after like way too many years of doing this bit, I knew I'd get you out of my side eventually. Well, I will take my win and...
Go ahead. Take your round the bases.
Let me take my victory lap here, if you don't mind. And what the hell? Let's bust into another one of these real quick, shall we?
Yeah.
Dear whoever it is that actually still reads these things, my sister refuses to discipline her 14-year-old son. He's constantly acting out and getting into trouble. A month ago, my nephew took my older car for a joyride and ended up wrecking it. My sister begged me not to go to the cops or the insurance company. I told her it would cost $5,000 to fix the car, according to my car guy. She ended up taking the money out of her savings and selling the expensive electronics she was going to give her son for Christmas. I ended up not fixing the car, but selling it as is. With the money, I plan to go on an extended vacation in the new year, since I haven't had one for years. My sister is not happy with me. She is accusing me of ruining Christmas and stealing her money. I told her the only thief here was her son, and it's high time he suffered some consequences before he gets into real trouble. Maybe next time he'll think twice if he knows his little stunts will cause him a PS5. My sister told me to shut up and not tell her how to raise her kids. I ended up leaving rather than continuing the argument. This is going to be coming up again and again. Any advice on how I deal with my sister now?
Man, I don't know. It's you got.
I know
you got to wrangle your kid. You got the kid's got to learn responsibility. And if she was to take her sister to court and say, you know, $5,000, and the court was going to award her $5,000, there is no stipulation that she has to use it for any purpose but what she deems as necessary. We are talking family members, which makes it really sticky. But it's like, I gave you the money so you could fix the car because you were worried about the car. And you're not going to fix the car. In fact, you sold it. We didn't even need to give you that money.
Yeah, you did, because you wrecked my property.
I know, but I'm talking about she was going to have the car fixed and didn't have the car fixed. It was able to sell it anyway. But, yeah, I mean, it's still, in the eyes of the law, it's, you know, she was well in her rights. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, she absolutely was.
The son needed to be taught a lesson.
Right. And while he was, no PS5 for you for Christmas.
Yep. And Aunt what? So-and-so. Oh, look, we got some more pictures from Aruba or wherever she went on vacation.
Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, we're talking a 14-year-old kid. In most jurisdictions, that's not old enough to be behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah.
Like, what you do with the money is, quite frankly, not a single bit of her business.
There's ethical, and then there's a law. I mean,
and quite frankly, the ethical and the law line up pretty decently for me. Yeah. I feel like I don't feel like it would have been ethical. Like, oh, don't worry about it. Yeah, you totaled my car, but that's fine. You don't need to pay for that. I didn't need that car anyway. Like, no, no, that's not cool. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, since you're apparently your sister is just gonna let her just awful kid do whatever he wants and not right. face any consequences right. for it otherwise.
Yep.
Then I don't see the issue here.
All right. I think, yeah, I mean, the kid has to learn. I mean, what he was doing behind the wheel, that was irresponsible for everybody involved. Everybody who allowed this 14-year-old to be cruising around in a car. So, yeah, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. He could have killed himself. He could have killed somebody else. He could have, you know, been arrested. He could have been, you know, things could have been a lot worse than, you know, missing out on a PS5.
Right, like the real world consequences really could have been much worse than they were.
Should have just went with Xbox anyway.
Well, yeah, there's that too. As far as how do you deal with it going forward, I mean, if your sister continues to bring it up, I mean, just tell her what we just told you, like that it's absolutely none of her business what you decided to do with that money.
I mean,
because it isn't.
Yeah, she probably, just to keep herself on the defense, she should stop saying, well, you need to keep better track of your kid. You need to do this. You just say, hey, listen, your kid screwed up and he had to pay the piper.
Or in this case, pay his aunt.
Yeah. You're going to get mad at me because he did that. Well, you know, I mean, I'm trying to recall the first part of it. She let the kid drive the car or.
No, it doesn't sound like there's any, she let the kid. I don't know if it was they were staying over and he just, you know, decided to go for a joyride and took off.
Yeah. Yeah, that kid's lucky he didn't get arrested.
He's lucky he didn't get a lot of things.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, if you get busted underage driving, that they can legally move it to where you can't get your license until you're 18. So that's 16.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I always heard. I don't know if that's true or if it was true and has since been changed, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I always heard, like, you know, if you get busted driving at 14, 15 years old, you can't get your license at 16. You got to wait until you're 18.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. I mean, maybe that's true. Hard to say. I've never.
It would make sense.
It would make a lot of sense. Certainly, it would be an incentive to not do that again.
Kept me on the straight and narrow. Because at 16, I wanted my license. And I got my license at 16. 5 days later, I turned left in front of somebody right in front of Hugo's Pizza and got T-boned. It happens.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah, no, I don't feel like you owe them any explanation further for what you did with the money or the car or anything. Like, at this point, justice has been served. Your kid screwed up. Your kid done screwed up.
Yep.
Paige, you know, you got your money back for it, and if the sister can't leave it be, then I don't know. Don't engage on it. Cut off all contact. I don't know.
Welcome.
Can I go two for two on the no contact train today?
Not with me on that one. I mean, it's still. I don't know. I mean, she shouldn't feel like she did anything wrong. I mean,
because she didn't do any. She absolutely didn't do anything wrong.
And that is my point. She didn't do anything wrong, so she shouldn't.
But you're about to do like the but. Well, she didn't do anything wrong, but.
No. I'm saying she shouldn't cut off contact because she didn't do anything wrong. If the sister decides to cut off contact, well, that there's nothing else you can do.
No, that's entirely true too. But I mean, if she keeps like every time there's any interaction with her is just like, you know, keeps bringing up this, oh, you know, you made me pay for your vacation because of, you know.
No, you paid for my car.
No, you paid for my car. I sold the car and paid for a vacation that way.
She should have just shut up about the whole thing. It's like, yeah, I got it fixed and I sold it. And, you know, oh, yeah, I'm going on vacation. Bye-bye. See ya.
Right. Well,
I'll send you a postcard.
I guess how would she have. Someone would have had to have known at that point that she did that. Like,
oh, yeah, she sold the car and it was still all busted up. It's like, well,
yeah. Yeah, there, I guess, is the question, like as to how you even found out that was the case anyway.
Cause, the
like,
real garbage person is the person that bought that busted old beater.
Why are they a garbage person?
I don't know. Just take my random hatred out on somebody. Screw that guy.
He didn't even do anything. He had the audacity to buy a car. How dare he? That terrible, terrible person.
He knew what was going on with those sisters. And he's like, here's a time for me to get in there and destroy their relationship. Yes, I'll buy your car, even though it's got, you know, still has got a fire hydrant embedded in the front of the grill. Absolutely.
Yep, I'm sure that's exactly the exact thing that guy was thinking that moment, not just, hey, I need a car.
Yeah, he drove it right back down to the depths, seventh depths of hell.
That's really impressive. That's some mighty fine just story spinning
white
there on
zombie,
here, man.
Black sunshine playing in the background as he's driving into it, right into the ground, into the seventh level of hell. I've ruined another relationship between sisters.
Yeah, maybe that's what happened. Hope that helped. Though, admittedly, truthfully, I fail to see how this bit could have possibly helped anyone. It's that time of the week again. It is Friday. It is damn near the end of the show, and that means, at least during this time of the year, it's time for the picks.
Woo!
As I take my little victory lap here, because, yeah, I won the picks last week.
Yeah, you did.
Just rubbing it in a little.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you. Who's a pick winner? Yes, you are.
I am. It's me. I did. I like, aced the college stuff. I knew Michigan State was going to get blown out, and then that Washington was going to ultimately manhandle Michigan.
Yeah, that happened. That all happened. But it's nice to hear who won the picks this week. I don't know what changed from the previous weeks.
I don't know. Craziest thing.
It always seems to, like, be a footnote when somebody else wins. But, you know, when Sean wins, it's like, strike up the band.
Well, you know, I can't help it that you don't pay attention when I talk about it any other time. That sounds like a you problem and not a me problem.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So we'll start this week.
I think I'm head for the season, though, aren't I?
Yeah, you're. I believe you have, yes. You've won the most weeks thus far this year.
It's 2-1-1, I believe.
Yeah.
Wait.
So you're keeping pace with us, certainly. Actually setting the pace, I suppose,
he's
Drew.
In the lead.
Look at you
all
go.
Right.
He's all excited about it. I love it. So let's get into this thing,
is
shall
somebody going to tie up with Drew, or is he going to pull ahead? Let's find out.
We're going to find out right now. We start with another one of these stupid Sunday morning games, and I'm not going to lie to you. The only reason I'm even doing this game this week is because I really kind of just wanted to once again attack the idea that we have to do these stupid Sunday morning games at all.
Why are the Jaguars always involved?
Because the Jaguars would move to London tomorrow if they could get away with it. That's the reason. Like, there was always talk, if ever there was going to be a London team that entered the NFL, they would be it. And so they come in, and my, what an up and down season it's been. First it's, oh, Doug Peterson's going to get fired this week. Yep. Oh, he fixed Trevor Lawrence. Either way, they come in trying to prove I don't really know what against the Chicago Bears, who hilariously are only a 2.5-point favorite despite the fact that they have tripled the number of wins of Jacksonville this season. Adam Harahuck on the pick.
I think the Jaguars. Oh, excuse me. The Jaguars.
No.
Well, they're in London, so it's Jaguars. I think
whatever you said.
Doug Peterson is going to coach himself right onto the catapult, about to be launched right into the Thames River or whatever is over there. Give me the Bears, and I'd say the points, but there's only two of them, so I think it's kind of worthless. So just give me the Bears.
All right, Drew Duffney on the pick.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville is going to be worried as to whether or not they're going to have a stadium to go home to. And if they're going to be in London, I'm pretty sure the King's going to favor a Bear over a Jaguar anyway. So we'll take the Bears.
I can't believe I'm saying this. Like, I would normally never pick a 1-4 team in this situation, but it does seem that Trevor Lawrence very much got on track last week. Caleb Williams is having a rough year, to say the least of it. His rookie campaign has not gone great. He's got about as much yardage as Trevor Lawrence does, but he's also thrown twice as many picks. And ultimately, he's only thrown one more touchdown than he's thrown an interception this season. Like, there's not a whole lot going on over there. I mean, Jacksonville is missing Travis Etienne going into Sunday's game. You got a bunch of key contributors who are questionable, at least, for this. But I still think I have to go with the Jags here. Up next, the surprising Washington Commanders, the surprisingly 4-1 Washington Commanders, taking on the Baltimore Ravens in the 1 o'clock window. Baltimore is favored by 6.5 here, but suffice it to say, Washington has had a nice season thus far. Jaden Daniels really making a strong case for himself and could certainly see himself maybe being talked about as Rookie of the Year, MVP, potentially, if he manages to secure a win against Lamar Jackson and company. We'll start with Drew Duffney on the pick.
I think we all know who I'm going to take. I've been in support of the Commanders ever since they changed their name, and everybody dogged me for it. And this year, my horse is finally coming in. Or in this case, my commander.
Adam Harahawk on the pick.
We are looking at a weird situation where the Ravens are 3-2, and Commanders are 4-1. But Baltimore, for whatever reason, is still favored by 6.5 on my screen. I don't know what it's on your screen, but
that's correct.
6.5.
It's a home game.
Yeah, give me Baltimore and give me all those sweet succulent points.
All right, I'll grant you that. I think the Commanders can absolutely keep, like, this would go a long way to establishing that this isn't just a fluke that the Commanders have managed to do as well as they have in the NFC East.
Stupid name.
I agree. This has never been a team that's had good names over its history, man.
No.
This is just the third stupid name in the history here. Now, that being said, I do think Washington can win this. Jaden Daniels has been on fire of late, and this will go a long way towards really proving that, yeah, this isn't just a fluke. Jaden Daniels is the real deal, and the Commanders really are a threat in the NFC East. I'll be honest with you, I think they can pull it off. Give me the Commanders. Up next, Tampa Bay. They are headed to New Orleans to take on the Saints in a matchup of at least some relevance in the NFC South, and as much as really any team, I guess, is relevant in the NFC South. Tampa Bay is favored by 3.5 here. Baker Mayfield, we know what he's done this season. He's been the QB that Cleveland always wishes he would have been, except now he's doing it for somebody else. We start with Adam Harahawk on the pick.
Well, I'm going to take a page out of Drew's book. I mean, Tampa is going to be going to New Orleans, and they're going to be worried about their helm.
Oh, my God.
It's
going to be that kind of week, isn't it?
Yeah, they're going to be worried about their home if they're going to be underwater. So they're not going to be playing as well as they should. So I'll make this one of my upset specials. Sure, give me New Orleans Saints.
Drew Duffney on the pick.
I'm going to say it's Tampa Bay because New Orleans is going to feel sympathy for the hurricane and throw the game.
He's not wrong. They're like, how many people named Katrina in the stadium today? Oh, no, we're not playing tonight. No. Mm-mm.
Good Lord. Good thing we don't have any more Florida teams coming up in this installment of the picks.
Oh, here comes Miami. No.
No, I gotta say here though, like after having blown a lead to Atlanta in their last game, they at least have had a little more rest because they haven't played since last Thursday, though they were on the road back to back here. This is not a matchup that looks great for the Saints. Derek Carr is not expected to play; he's listed as questionable currently. Spencer Rattler could be the guy who ends up getting the start for New Orleans. And your O-line is rather banged up, too. I don't like your odds if you're the Saints. Give me Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield's going to roll in there. And honestly, it would surprise me if he puts up 4 touchdowns on the day. Up next, the Steelers headed to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. And we don't honestly know at this point, I don't think, who's starting for Las Vegas. Aiden O'Connell could somehow work his way back into the starting QB position. Uncle Rico got benched last week. And Pittsburgh's defense has been nothing if not stout this season. But the Steelers really have, on the other side, Justin Fields, who's a little bit in question right now. Like, there's a lot of people who are saying Russell Wilson could still come back and take the starter's role from him. We'll see. We start with Drew Dufney on the pick.
So I'm taking Pittsburgh, not related sports, but definitely related topic. They just imploded the Tropicana this morning, making room for the Oakland A's stadium, or the Las Vegas A's.
The stadium that's not going to happen? Yeah. I'm serious. I'm dead serious about this. Put down, I will lay down money on this right now, that no actual baseball stadium ends up getting built for an MLB team in Las Vegas. Well, the A's will never make it there.
The big story is that the Tropicana was a very famous casino hotel.
Yeah.
And it got imploded. It just kind of like, I remember when the Sands got, or the Dunes got busted open. That was a kind of a sad day.
Yeah, 67 years they were open. It was the third oldest hotel in the strip.
Yep.
Wow.
So Yahoo.
I'm pretty sure something's happening.
So Yahoo Sports is announcing that Aiden O'Connell is replacing Gardner Minshew as Raiders starting QB. So I don't think that's going to help him at all. So give me Pittsburgh.
Well, this might be the first boring of the week, I have to say, because there's absolutely no reason whatsoever that Vegas should win this. Like, their QB situation's in flux. Honestly, I half expect that, Antonio Pierce's seat might start getting rather hot as head coach over there.
Yeah.
And this is the game that Justin Fields desperately needs in order to kind of silence the doubters, because he wasn't supposed to be the starter here. He was supposed to sit behind Russ for a few years, or at least a year, however long he's got on that contract, and let him cook. And that thus far has been the case, and Fields has made a strong-ish case to stay in that role. I mean, the record speaks for itself. Give me the Steelers. Up next, the Cincinnati Bengals. They're kind of reeling at this point. They're 1-4. Their playoff hopes are just slipping away. They are headed to New York to take on the Giants, who are coming off a road win over Seattle. And they should have Malik Nabers back for this game, which will be a big boost to Daniel Jones and the passing game. Cincy's defense. This defense is trash, but Joe Burrow is about as far from trash as it gets. Who comes out on top? You tell me. Adam Harahuck on the pick.
G-Man.
Drew.
Yeah, this is going to be a boring week because we're all picking the same stuff. I think it's going to be the Giants.
Correction. You're all picking the same stuff. I am not. I'm not going that route. There's absolutely no reason the Bengals shouldn't win this one. Like, it probably end up being a little bit of a shootout. Like, defense is not going to be on the menu on Sunday night. I absolutely think that Joe Burrow is able to do enough to overcome the fact that your defense is trash. Give me the Bengals on this one. Up next, the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football against the New York Jets. They're out on the road yet again. The Jets hoping for that, the dead cap bounce from firing Robert Saleh over this last week. But I don't know if, we'll see. Can Aaron Rodgers do enough to change things now that he's got the guy he wanted out? We start with Drew Duffy on the pick.
Yeah, Buffalo, Bills Mafia. I think they're ready to turn things around.
Adam.
Jets are without head coach Robert Saleh. Well, Saleh, about your luck, it's going to be Buffalo by 2 touchdowns.
Ooh.
Speaking of which, I think I'm going to have Buffalo wings for dinner.
Ooh, there we go.
That's how sure I am.
Always a good choice. You know what? Give me the Bills, too. I guess we're a second boring of the week, because there's no way that as anemic as the Jets' offenses look this season, I don't like their odds against the Bills any at all. And then the game we all really care about, your Detroit Football Lions. They're headed to Dallas to take on the Cowboys.
Jerry World.
We start with Adam Harahuck on the pick.
Give me the Honolulu Blue and Silver. Lions, 28. Cowboys, 26.
Drew Duffney.
I do not think it's going to be that high of a game. I think it's going to be Lions 17, Cowboys 10.
Ooh, defense on menu tonight.
I disagree completely. Dallas is kind of shorthanded on defense, and we know how the Lions secondary has functioned here, certainly against this team. Like, I expect CeeDee Lamb's going to get a lot of play in this matchup. Like, I don't really honestly like the idea or believe the idea that this is going to be a low-scoring affair by any means. This is going to be a shootout, and ultimately, I see the Lions coming out on the high side of this thing. Your final, your Detroit Football Lions 34, the Dallas Cowboys 31.
Ooh. Shootout.
Woo! That's a high-scoring game.
That it is. Well, that being said, let's move on to some college football real quick. Shall we? The music, please. So we have a couple games. We have no local things of note to pick, as both your teams are on a, thankfully, well-deserved hiatus this week.
Both State and Michigan are on bye weeks this week.
Yes, they are.
No kidding.
And you know what? That's probably for the best.
Probably for the best.
Because both of them could absolutely use it.
Yeah.
And since Drew was already asking, no, we're not picking Notre Dame. They're favored by like 25 points against Stanford, which I hope they lose. Don't get me wrong, but that's not going to make for a particularly good, you know, picking. We'll start with number one in the nation, Texas. Yeah, yep. That's a thing, apparently. They are headed to Oklahoma to take on the number 18 rated Sooners. Texas favored by 14.5 in this year's installment of the Red River Rivalry. We'll start with Adam Harahawk on the pick.
Oh, hook 'em Longhorns and give me all the points. 14.5, all of them. Every single one, even the half.
All right. Drew Duffney.
I'm taking the Sooners just because that was the team from Big Mama's house.
Okay. Never seen it.
That's
Martin Lawrence dresses in drag right before Tyler Perry. Okay. I do know that much.
The information we learn when Drew does this bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
The dad's password, he was a big computer deal. He was trying to hack his computer, Martin Lawrence was.
Yeah.
And the dad's password was my alma mater. It's the Sooners. And then that's when they figured out that was the password.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, give me old Arch Manning and the Longhorns here, but I don't have them winning by 14.5. Up next, we have Ole Miss headed to LSU to take on the Tigers. Ole Miss ranked 9th coming into this matchup. LSU ranked 13th. Ole Miss, a 3.5-point favorite. Drew Duffney, I suppose.
Give me Ole Miss. I feel like they're going to roll into New Orleans strong.
Baton Rouge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Them too.
That's the other Louisiana Cajun state.
Yeah, that too. Adam Harahawk got the pick.
I'm in a Tigers mood right now this time of the year, so give me the LSU Tigers.
I too am in a Tigers mood, but that's always traditionally the case for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I have to go Ole Miss on this one. Finally, Ohio State taking on Oregon.
Oh, this is going to be a good game.
This is like the game of the week right here.
7:30 on a Saturday.
Buckeyes are favored by 3. Adam Harahawk on the pick.
No, I can't find myself. I can't find it within myself to root for the Ohio State, so go Ducks.
Well, no one ever roots for Ohio State on this show, someone's got to win this thing. Drew Duffney.
Yeah, give me the Buckeyes.
I would like to not have to root for them, especially, I don't want to root for Oregon either with the hurting they put on Sparty last week.
Oh, they did.
And, I don't think I can root for him this week. Give me Give me the Buckeyes, I guess, if I have to. I hate it. I hate it. Trust me, I hate it too.
Come back.
I don't like it any more than you do. But if I'm being realistic here, I think Buckeyes pull this thing out. There's your picks. Any parting words here, Senior Duffany?
I'm going to see if I can find a parlay or a bet as to whether or not the Las Vegas A's stadium is going to be built.
If
you're planning on going to a game this weekend, any kind of game, take an umbrella. They say this is a big hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
So with that in mind, we have to do a little bit of housekeeping as we usually do this time of the week.
Ah, yes.
In our weekly attempt to cleanse our souls, and my, has it been a doozy of a week. Happy Hour would like to apologize to Aaron Rodgers, Frankie Valli, Showbiz Pizza, Oasis, John Mellencamp, Hostesses, Spirit Halloween, Cortland Center, Lover's Lane, Goodwill, Dorothy, and Joey. We're sorry.
Sorry about that.
At least moderately sorry, anyway. On that note, we gotta go. A little cheap plug, if we could, though, tonight on Sessions, you've got the Pink 50s in studio.
Yes, they got a new In a Dream album out. We're going to be talking about that and playing some tunes from it.
And some of it might even be radio-friendly. It'll be good times for everybody.
I hope so.
That coming up next here at your local alternative Solid State Radio. In the meantime, I'll be in well. We'll talk to you Monday afternoon at 3. See ya!